Your money, your estate plan, your retirement. Securing Arizona's future one family at a time. This is The Word on Wealth. Intelligent financial talk you can have faith in. With your host, president and co-founder of Grand Canyon Planning Associates, John Dombrowski. Send your questions to DearJohn@thewordonwealth.com. Now, here's John.
And welcome to The Word on Wealth. I'm John Dombrowski, going to be with you here for the next hour, talking some financial talk and financial issues facing all of us, as always. If you've got questions for me, anything financial, IRAs, 401ks, 403bs, Roth IRAs, insurance, real estate, estate planning, or taxes, please shoot me an email to DearJohn@thewordonwealth.com. And as always, when we're talking about these important financial issues, I love to take the fun approach to the serious matter of your money. And welcome again, as I said, to The Word on Wealth. Thanks again for joining us. Hopefully you're enjoying your morning. Beautiful day out there. We haven't really had any rain in the forecast, unfortunately, but looking forward to some at some point in time. But anyway, the weather's been fantastic, and hopefully you're enjoying getting outdoors and keeping safe as it can be with, of course, the COVID-19 numbers have been rising. Hey, one of the good things we did see was, I guess, vaccines of 65 and older now. Are people who are 65 and older can get the vaccine, which is interesting, right? Because they had that capped, I think it was 75, now it's 65. So for those of you 65 and older, if you want to get the vaccine, you are able to get that. Also, of course, testing has been going on at a rapid rate, and it's been difficult. I've heard for a lot of people even to get in to get tested because so many people are getting tested. So with that being said, I know there are places out there that can. You can schedule an appointment for testing, and it may be a few days out if you really need to get tested. I think, though, a lot of times, unless you have symptoms and unless you are really at a high risk or something like that, it's not as urgent for people to get tested. And I've heard a lot of times that people are saying just stay home, and if you feel that you've got something, or quarantine yourself and kind of wait and see what happens before you go through all the process. But I'm not an expert on that. I just know that the cases have been higher, but a lot of people are getting tested. Maybe that's part of the reason. And a couple other new strains have been reported in this country as well as around the world. And so it sounds to me like this is something that's going to be around a while. It's not 100% going to go away quickly just because we have a vaccine. But the stock market certainly is performing well, thinking that we're going to get a vaccine out there to just about everybody. It's going to get the economy back open, and it's going to be good for business. So hopefully that's the case, and we're certainly seeing signs of that in the market. A couple other things we're going to talk about here in a minute, but I do want to touch on, as always, you can get a hold of me by going to our website of GrandCanyonPlanning.com. We've got some great information on our website, as well as a number to get a hold of us, or you can request an appointment there. You can also sign up for our weekly economic update, which I'm going to touch on a couple of things right now that will be dropped into your email box each and every week from our economic update. Just give you some good information as to what happened in the economy over the past week and what's upcoming. This past week, which would have been Monday the 11th, you would have received this email if you were on our list. Talked about the stock market, a little bit about what the markets have done year to date. We're only a couple weeks into this new year. The Dow's up 1.6% as of last week. The NASDAQ up 2.5% almost, and the S&P 500 up 1.83%. The one interesting thing is we did see the 10-year note, and that's that 10-year treasury, top the 1%, actually closing at 1.13%, up 0.2%, which is a big jump, 20% in 1 week. Many think that that interest rate is going to continue to climb maybe as much as 1.5% to 2% over the course of this year. And that's very possible, but boy, the Fed is so liquid with the money and pushing out all that cash, printing money and distributing it, that I don't know if that's really going to happen or not, or if we're going to start to see rates kind of settle in and fall maybe back down below that 1% for the 10-year. And that's why it's so difficult for people right now trying to earn interest on their bank accounts, savings accounts, checking accounts, high interest savings accounts, CDs, the money markets. They're all basically paying nothing right now. So you're not taking any risk, but you're not earning anything either. And the thing is that There could be some other opportunities for you. I met with someone this past week that had a substantial amount of money in the bank and finally decided they wanted to do something with that money to try and get some type of better return on it than what the bank was offering. And we devised a strategy of dividend paying stocks and some ETFs that could give them that income. And we're gonna hopefully help them along to get comfortable with that. I know it's a change for many people, but there's really no place other than the markets right now that you could go and get a reasonable rate of return. So that's one option that is available. If you want to investigate that, you can certainly call me at our company, Grand Canyon Planning, 480-991-1055. Or as I said, go to our website. Hey, also in our weekly economic update, we do have a couple of tips. We do this on a regular basis. And this week's tip is, and this is interesting because if you're married and if you ever talk about finances with your spouse, sometimes it's difficult, right? It seems like one of the spouses is always a little freer with the money than the other. I'm not saying gender specific, whether it's one or the other, because it's different on every marriage. But I would say that it is important for couples to communicate with each other and create a strategy when it comes to managing your money and how your spending will occur and spending habits, right? You want to put away a certain amount of money for your retirement each year, but also you want to put away money in case of an emergency. And you want to maybe, depending if you have children, college education funds, if you have a health savings account, you want to put money away for your health coverage. There are a variety of different things. So really what it breaks down to is having a budget and creating a budget. And if you could do that together and stick to the approach and plan, then it can help you be successful. So that would be the tip of the week, is sit down and talk to your spouse about your spending habits, creating a budget, and creating a plan that ultimately you both can agree on and both can really work towards and stick to so that it can be successful. All right. Also, we have each and every week is our interesting riddle. And this is Paula who puts these riddles together, and I thank her for doing so. Sometimes I forget to read the riddle, so I'm going to make sure I don't do it this week. But last week's riddle that I read was, what do you have to break before you can use it? And this was an easy one, right? What do you have to break before you can use it? The answer is an egg. I'm sure many of you got that. This week's riddle, buckets, barrels, caskets, cans. What do you fill with empty hands? Buckets, barrels, caskets, and cans. What do you fill with empty hands? That's this week's riddle. If you want to get the answer to that dropped into your email box each and every week, you can do that by signing up for our weekly economic update at our website of GrandCanyonPlanning.com. All right, a lot of things happened over this past week. As I mentioned, of course, the vaccines, they lowered the age to 65. We had now, of course, a change in the Senate. We're going to have 50-50. It's going to be equal number of senators, state senators, or actually U.S. senators, right? And that's going to be the tying vote now is going to be the incoming Vice President, Kamala Harris. So indirectly, the Democrats control the House, the Senate, and the White House. Now, that this hasn't happened for over a decade, but what happened last time, as far as I can recall, we had something called affordable health care that was pushed into legislation and ultimately passed. And so we don't know what's going to happen coming up now that the Democrats have full control of everything. We also have the House that's pushing articles of impeachment again towards President Trump based on occurrence at the Congress last week when it was breached, and people were protesting and rioting, and so that's not going to get any legs right now because the Senate is not going to take that up. But whether or not it will have some effect after the new administration comes in, it's very possible. Or maybe the new administration would just move on, which is hopefully what they'll do. So a lot of things happening. And because of that, a lot of people are saying to me, John, I'm really concerned about the stock market with the change in the guard, with the Democrats taking over all the branches of government. Don't you believe that we're going to have this tremendous correction in the stock market? And my response has been, we have to look at more than just that data in order to make a decision based whether or not the markets are going to have a major correction. And the data really is going to be as we look at how corporations are managing their business, if they're profitable, are consumers spending money, a variety of different things that we have to look at before we could make a decision whether or not we feel that this market is going to have a major correction. And at this particular time, it seems to me the market has momentum. And I believe, if anything, we're going to see a little bit of a move forward in the markets. And we've seen that for those out there who are really nervous about it, and for those out there who maybe move their money into cash and they're waiting for this big correction to occur, it hasn't happened. And for that reason, I think you need to reconsider your strategy. And we're going to talk a little bit about a lot of things here coming up in the rest of the hour today. So I'm going to take a short break. I'm John Dombrowski. This is The Word on Wealth. Stay right here with us. We're going to be back right after this.
Come on, baby, I'm tired of talking. Grab your coat and let's start walking. Come on, come on.
Oh, the great Elvis Presley. Come on, come on. We all remember Elvis. Come on, come on. Welcome back again to The Word on Wealth. I'm John Dombrowski. Going to be with you here for the full hour today. And as always, if you've got questions for me, anything financial, I always encourage you to shoot me an email to dearjohn@thewordonwealth.com. That's dearjohn@thewordonwealth.com. And I've got a couple of emails I do want to get to in this segment, and hopefully we'll have time to get to a couple of them. If not, we'll do as many as we can. But I do also want to give you an opportunity to check out our website of GrandCanyonPlanning.com. We've got a great website there that you can reach out to us if you'd like to sign up for our weekly economic update. You can do that. Or if you would like to request an appointment there, you can do that as well right on the website. And I encourage you to take time and take the initiative to do so, so we could sit down and talk about what you're doing to plan for your financial future. One of the things I have been neglecting to say, and I used to say this all the time, I always say to gather up all of that financial memorabilia, which are all those statements, shove them into the shoebox and bring them on in when you come in for your appointment, so we can do an analysis of what you're currently doing and your current positions and holdings to see how we can help you improve on what you're currently doing or help you create a plan that can get you hopefully to that retirement that you're thinking about. That's what we like to do here at our firm. So please check out the website, GrandCanyonPlanning.com. All right. I did get a question which was interesting, and these are not necessarily related to finance, but it's a great question. I had someone ask, "Dear John, my question is not necessarily financial, but I listen to your show regularly, and I do enjoy it, and thank you so much." And this is from Robert. He says, "Do you get nervous when you're on the radio?" And that's a great question, Robert, and I would say, boy, I guess there are times when I would be nervous. You know, sometimes you start to run out of something to say. You have something on your mind that you want to say, and you can't quite get the words out. And you feel that it's taking forever, and you don't want to have some type of a void on the radio. So I guess that would be a time when I start to get a little bit nervous or concerned that I'm not giving it my all or giving it my best. One of the things that I do like to hopefully do, which is whatever we talk about on the show, that's why I have the guests that I have and talk about the different topics that I talk about, is to hopefully give you something that you could take away from the radio show, from the whole hour. So you don't have to take away 5 or 10 different things, just one thing that can help you improve on your financial life. And I mean, I've heard commercials out there that say, hey, call us or send an email to us and we'll send you 10 things you could do right now. Well, most of us have a difficult time just doing one or two things, never mind 10 things, right? So in my mind, my goal really is with the radio show is to hopefully to educate you, hopefully to get you thinking about your finances, hopefully to get you to take action regarding your finances, meaning by making the necessary adjustments to your portfolio if need be, or reaching out to me to schedule an appointment so that we could sit down and understand what you're currently doing. Oftentimes when we have that initial meeting, that's an exploratory meeting, there's not really much in the way of advice necessarily that I'm giving, but it's just trying to take it all in so that I can analyze what you're currently doing and come up and formulate a plan for our next meeting. And usually it takes about two or three meetings before we get everything into to a point where we're all on the same page and we're able to maybe change course or make an adjustment to what you're currently doing and hopefully get you on a straighter path to what you're trying to accomplish. And one of the things, of course, is taking the emotion out of it, which is what I do because it's difficult for you. Of course, I always say it's your money. It's difficult not to be emotional about it. So I know I kind of went off topic there about, do I get nervous sometimes when I'm on the radio, Robert? And the answer is yes. I think we all would probably, public speaking is one of the, most difficult things to do. And it's something that most people fear. I think it's one of the most feared things in an individual's life is public speaking. So yes, I've been doing this for a long, long time. And so you learn and you practice and you make mistakes, but overall, you're just trying to do the best you can to give good, solid advice and help people get to where they need to be in their financial life. So hopefully that answers your question, Robert. Thank you so much for that. I really do appreciate it. This is another question I got here from Alan. And Alan says, Dear John, again, says, I listen to your show off and on, and I do appreciate everything you talk about. He said, do you ever go all to cash on your portfolios, or do you stay invested? Well, that's an interesting question, right? If you think about going to all cash on your portfolio. So let's assume that you've got $100,000 that you're invested and you were concerned about what happened this past year with the virus back in February and then March, and we started to see the markets fall and you got nervous. And maybe you had a reason to get nervous. Maybe you're thinking, gee, I'm very close to retirement and I can't afford to lose any money. So I'm going to sell everything and just put it in cash and just wait. And I'll get back into the market when time is right. Well, that's a difficult decision to understand when to get back in, right? And if you did go to cash, if you were fortunate enough to get back in early because the recovery was swift, it was quick and swift, right? If you did not get back in, you may have sold at a lower value. And if you did eventually get back in, you bought in at a much higher value. So in a case like that, it might have made more sense, which is what we did, was made adjustments to the portfolio. We did not go all to cash. We just made adjustments to our portfolio and took a little bit of risk off the table. And then eventually when we felt we were reaching a bottom, because you're never going to predict the absolute top or the absolute bottom. It's very difficult to time that. Once we perceived a bottom, we felt confident and we adjusted again our portfolios and we added some undervalued positions to the portfolio, which ultimately paid off for our clients. Again, taking emotion out of it and looking at things and investing with a purpose was our goal, and it worked out very well. So do we ever go all to cash? No. Not necessarily, but I would say this. If someone comes to me, a new client, and we're establishing a new account for them, and we're moving over cash into the account, we're not moving over any positions, right? We're going to just move over cash. Well, now we have an opportunity. And that opportunity is we can pick and choose how and when we would like to enter into the market. So on a day when we saw on this past Monday, when the markets pulled back pretty substantial, we might have said, well, this is a good day for us maybe to start dipping our toe in the water and taking advantage of some of the pullback, right? Because we've got all this cash in the account. And then we might want to go on some type of an automatic contribution and entry into the market, just like you do with your 401k, right? So you've got each pay period that you're having money's deducted from your paycheck, and you're putting that into your 401k, which is great. What does that do? It's something called dollar cost averaging. And whether the market's up, the market's down, you're buying into those positions and you're averaging out your cost basis. And history's proven over a period of time, this is a good strategy for investing. So the answer to the question here, Alan, would be is do I go all to cash in our portfolios? I would just say up until now, there has not been an absolute reason to do that. And so we've maybe taken some of our positions off the table and gone to a higher position of cash, but not all cash. However, if someone brings over money into our accounts, we open an account for them over at our firm and it's cash, we have a little more flexibility. We have the ability to take our time and to invest as we see the markets make some adjustments. We can then move positions in. So hopefully that answers your question, Alan. And also, Robert, thank you for the question as well. And again, I appreciate the questions coming in. Email them to me at dearjohn@thewordonwealth.com. That's dearjohn@thewordonwealth.com. And I'm happy to answer those questions throughout the show. It makes things a little bit easier for me, too, because these are questions that maybe a lot of people would like to know the answer to. And it gives you an opportunity to get your question answered and hopefully get a little bit of an idea of our philosophy as a financial firm and how we approach our management of our clients' funds. So with that being said, as always, I'm John Dombrowski. This is The Word on Wealth. Check out the website again, GrandCanyonPlanning.com. We've got some great information on the site as well as a way to request an appointment. Sit down and talk with me. Hopefully you'll do that. And let's take the time to see how we can help you. All right, I'm John Dombrowski. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this break. All right, we're back. John Dombrowski, The Word on Wealth. As always, I give you the opportunity to check us out on the website of GrandCanyonPlanning.com. We've got some great information there. Ways to get a hold of us, sign up for our weekly economic update or schedule or request an appointment right there on our website. Or you can call us directly at 480-991-1055. Also, if you've got questions you'd like to get those answered on the show, email me at dearjohn@thewordonwealth.com. All right, well, I'm going to bring on one of our regular guests, estate planning attorney Jonathan Muntz. Good morning, Jonathan. How are you?
Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Hey, Jonathan, I want to bring something up here that occurred a couple weeks ago. We never got a chance to address this, but I think it's worth talking about. And I know we're a financial show, and I try not to get political here, Jonathan. I don't want to get political.
We haven't gotten political. I mean, we can have an hour where we can get political. Yeah, but, I mean, I definitely have opinions, and you have opinions.
Yeah.
But we purposely aren't political because that's not what this is about.
Right.
This is about helping people.
Yeah. So here's what I'm going to – we got a phone call at our office. I'm not going to mention any names. The person left their name. They left their phone number and everything, and I was kind of surprised because of the type of language that they used and the tone of their voice. It was about a comment that we made. We had a conversation about wearing a mask and because of COVID-19. And this person just went off the rails about it, calling our office and leaving a message. And I was really surprised by it because, I mean, we're a free society here. If someone doesn't want to wear a mask, they don't have to wear a mask. But that doesn't mean that another person, maybe in a business that's trying to run a business, and if they are in a position to where an employee or somebody gets the virus because they didn't follow some protocols, that they could be held liable for that. And that's a little bit of a problem.
And that's all we were talking about. Look, if you're in a business, I was just at a grocery store and there was a sign that said, don't come in here without a mask, order of the governor.
Right.
That was the sign that said before you walk through the doors. So what do you think everyone had on in the store?
Yeah.
So I was saying, if you're in a place like that requires a mask, we all should wear a mask.
Yeah. And if you're not going to, they wouldn't let you
come in. Then don't go in.
Then don't go in. That's your prerogative.
That's all I said. If you're going to go to the gym and it requires you to wear a mask, wear a mask.
Yeah.
That's all I said. Like, I honestly, do whatever you want. I'm the one that promotes freedom and loves freedom more than anyone else I know, and actually like appreciates it and understands it. And I believe that my freedom should be only my freedom insofar as it doesn't hurt you or impinge on your freedom.
Right.
And likewise, I hope you adhere to the same tenets. And if we all do that, we're going to have a great, great society and a great community.
Yeah.
It's really just about mutual respect. And you know what? We can agree to disagree and we can say things that are disagreeable, but calling up and leaving a disparaging, horribly, frankly, I'll call it a, I mean, the language that was used in the comments were used, people have been fired for less or let go of their jobs for less.
Right.
Right. And so, you know, if this is not the type of thing that you put out in the public sphere or you put out on social media, because you know what, this will come back to haunt you. So, you know, with kindness, we can critique others and we can talk and we can criticize, but we do it with kindness. We do it with love. So maybe 2021 should be more about that.
Right.
Showing respect to even those that we don't agree with.
Yeah.
So we'll just leave it at that.
Sounds good, Jonathan. I just did want to give you the opportunity to reply, and myself included, to be able to make a comment about that. And I'm open to ideas, to hearing from people. But with a certain, you know, reasonable discourse.
It is. But likewise, I'll just say this. Look, I follow legal professionals and what the general legal community says is the right thing to do on issues, right?
Right.
Whereas when you meet with John and you're talking about financial issues, he's trying to adhere to what the generally accepted standards are.
Right.
Because we're not trying to play gray areas here. Like, you're not going to come talk to me if you want to do something crazy that may or may not work. I want to give you tried, true, proven strategies that will help you ensure that your assets are, one, safe for you while you're alive, that can be managed for your benefit, and then upon your passing, go to your loved ones.
Right.
That I don't have to say, well, it's about a 30-70% chance or whatever, you know, some ridiculous thing. We don't hedge here.
Right.
So likewise, we follow what other professionals in our industry say. Likewise, if I need to get medical advice or figure out whether I should do something or not, I certainly don't go to a butcher. Yeah. I go to my doctor, right?
And you know what's interesting, Jonathan? I did want to mention this. And I just had a conversation the other day with Paula in our office. And I mentioned Paula a lot on the radio show because Paula does so much here at our firm, Grand Canyon Planning. She helps me with all the newsletter information, the website, with the economic report, the radio show. And what's interesting is I made a comment about, you know, how many times have you heard or gotten a tip about a stock or something, and it's from, I'll just joke, it's from the cable person, or it's from, you heard it in the line at the supermarket, even though they were wearing a mask, you were still able to hear what they said.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're going to run right out and buy that stock. You're taking advice from someone who you don't even know, who has no understanding or really follows the principles and practices of a good financial you know, planner. So it's interesting that people do that. And so you're right. You take advice from the professional.
From the professionals and people that are studying the industry.
Yes.
You can talk to me about taxes all you want, and I'll wax and wane, and I'll talk a lot about them. But in all honesty, you probably want to ask Darren.
Right.
Who will be on the show, right?
He's coming up next,
You want to ask Darren, and Darren will give you the tax advice. Likewise, you probably don't want to ask Darren legal advice.
Right.
You want to ask me legal advice, and we want to ask John financial advice.
Right.
So I'm just saying here, for me personally, this is going to be my choice. I'm going to do what the medical professionals, the generally accepted view in the medical community says to do about health issues.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do. And as far as legal issues go, I'm going to tell you what I think the pros and cons are of what you want to do and whether I think it'll work or not based on what my knowledge is.
Right.
And if you decide you want to make a decision, you want to go down a road that I tell you won't work, you know what? You can make your opinion. You can make your decision. And
based on your opinion.
Have all the information.
Right.
I'm just personally erring on the side of, if a doctor tells me to wear a mask, I'm likely going to wear a mask. If that doctor says to me that flying in an airplane and wearing a mask will mean that I'm less likely to get a virus of some kind or some other sickness, I'm probably going to follow their instructions. Right. Likewise, they tell me to wash my hands before I prepare food.
Yeah.
I wash my hands before I prepare food, right? That's all.
Yeah. All right. So, Jonathan, you know, I constantly ask for folks to send me email questions. And from time to time, I get these email questions. And I have another email here. And this is from Joan. And Joan is asking a question about breaking joint tenancy. So let's first of all talk about joint tenancy, and that's ownership in a piece of real estate.
Or it could be in another financial asset. It just simply means joint tenants with right of survivorship.
Right.
Or with rights of survivorship.
Right.
So the idea is that if I pass away, everything goes to you, and if you pass away, everything goes to me.
Right.
And this is an agreement we enter in jointly.
And the reason she's asking the question is because apparently she owned something jointly with somebody, but then she was notified she no longer owned it jointly with them, and she thought she would have to also agree to that, but of course, as the case is she doesn't.
No, she doesn't, because it's, I mean, unless it's a specific type of financial asset that has some type of a clause, but in reality, you both are, this is what's happening. You start out as 50-50 owners.
Right.
You could even have a different ownership percentage and say joint tenants with right of survivorship, but it applies to people that owe 50% and 50%.
Mm-hmm.
But you could use it as a means to ensure that it passes to this other person outside of probate that passes directly upon my death, right?
Right.
But typically it's 50-50, and it just simply is a way of saying, look, we own this such that if I die, it goes to you, and if you die, it goes to me.
Mm-hmm. So it's a way to right. transfer
and
the
you
property.
Can, and you can understand right. why banks and others want to do this, because if they didn't, then there'd be kinds of all types of property or assets that were owned where all of a sudden the estate of one, the deceased person now owns 50%, and this other person owns 50%. So how do we do it? And when you think about it with a house, I can't put a line. I always think about that. We're like, you stay on your side of the house, I stay on my side of the house, and we put a line down the middle. It's like a TV show. You can't split a house in half. Like, I can only rent out half my house, and the other half of my house is going to be a pop-up kitchen.
Right.
You see, it doesn't work that way. So we have this idea, well, I own 50% of that house. Well, in reality, it's the whole house, and it's hard to divide in half. So what joint tenants does, it makes it easier for everyone to deal with the title, because if one passes, it goes to the other.
Right.
Right. Right. So that's why we do that. No, you don't have to be notified. However, if it was owned as community property with rights of survivorship,
different story.
The other spouse has to sign off.
Right.
And likewise, as you've discussed in many, many times before, on retirement accounts, mm-hmm. if I try to remove my spouse as a beneficiary, or I want to name someone other than my spouse as a beneficiary,
yeah.
and this is obviously an account that I'm setting up while we're married.
These are under the ERISA plan, such right. as a 401k. Right?
That spouse has to right. sign off.
The spouse has to agree.
And
to
there are several financial institutions that I've come across that where when you are married and you want to name someone else besides your spouse as a beneficiary, their internal rules will require that spouse to sign off.
Right.
Because they don't want this spouse to be able to come back and be like,
because
that was
there's
my
rights,
money.
Especially yes. in a community property state, right. because there's rights.
So yeah. you don't have to be notified. So if you're going to own a house as joint tenants with someone with the anticipation that if they die, they're going to give you the house
right.
because you are friends and you don't have some other familial relationship, mm-hmm. it might be that you need to have a separate contract that also details that as well and not just rely on the joint tenants with right of survivorship.
Right. Okay. Because
they could just change it on
right.
a whim.
Yeah.
Right. So if I have a contract that says what my interest is in the property, then it can work out better.
Okay. So, Joan, hopefully that answers your question. So the answer is yes, it can be broken, the joint tenancy, and you didn't have to agree to it. You had to agree to it going in because you basically
signed together.
But you don't have to agree to break the joint tenancy, which is interesting. And as you said, Jonathan, there is a definite difference between joint tenancy with rights of survivorship and community property with rights of survivorship. You and I, we're not married, but we could own property joint tenants with rights of survivorship, but not as community property because we're not married.
And I would argue if we did decide to do that we might want to have a separate agreement that further details why we did that and explains it in case one of us decides to go out on a limb and do something nuts.
Right. And you could have, again, if a lot of times it's a business maybe that you've started, or it's a piece of real estate that you own in a business. So there are a variety of reasons to own something jointly, but there's also a variety of reasons to maybe own that property with a specific way to transfer it to your loved ones in the event you need to do that as well. All right. Hey, Jonathan, appreciate it as always.
Thank you, John.
Estate Planning Attorney Jonathan Muntz. I'm John Dombrowski. This is The Word on Wealth. Going to take a short break when we come back. Going to have Darren Sigrist joining us. Stay with us. All right. Welcome back. I'm John Dombrowski. This is The Word on Wealth. As always, I encourage you, if you've got questions, anything financial, you can shoot me an email to dearjohn@thewordonwealth.com, or you can call us directly at our Scottsdale office. If you've got a question, I may not be available at the time you ask the question, but I'll certainly be happy to get back with you if you'd like to schedule an appointment. And you can call me at 480-991-1055. And also, you can go to our website of GrandCanyonPlanning.com and request an appointment right there as well. Or you can, again, shoot me an email question right there from the website. So what I want to talk about in this segment, though, is taxes. And taxes, it's that time of year, as we know. And one of the questions that from time to time come up, something called estimated tax payments. Now, I'm not a tax advisor, so I'm not going to get into any of the intricacies of it, but I'm going to ask the questions. And for that purpose, I've got one of our resident tax experts here, Darren Sigrist of Sigrist, Cheek, Potter, and Heiser. Good morning, Darren.
Good morning.
What's cooking?
Just a great day so far.
You don't have any coffee. You don't drink. You're not a coffee drinker, right?
I'm not.
Yeah, and I'm not either. I drink tea, but you're not drinking tea or anything.
I drink tea.
Do you?
Yeah.
And water or whatever, but or wine, good glass of wine, but not in the morning.
It's a little early for that.
Yeah. No, I'm not a wine drinker. Maybe a Bloody Mary once in a while. That's always fun if you're on vacation.
That'll work.
Darren, I wanted to talk a little bit about something called estimated tax payments, because I, from time to time, I run across clients maybe that have had an unusual transaction during the course of a year. Maybe they sold a rental property, maybe they sold a business, maybe they had some large gains in some stock sales that they had, whatever it might be, and they've never paid estimated taxes, but they're going to potentially have this tax burden. And I may make a suggestion, hey, you may want to check out whether or not you'd have an estimated tax payment need here so that you don't get surprised at the end of the year. And so I may refer them to you. So let's talk a little bit about what estimated tax payments are and why they're there.
Right. And tax law can be complicated. It can be simple. And a lot of people never encounter a different mechanism for paying the government their taxes than just working at their job. Their employer withholds FICA, Medicare. They also withhold federal and state withholding. They make your tax payments for you. You never encounter it in many situations. Maybe you do owe something and you pay it in with your tax return at the end of the year. But there are a lot of people who are either self-employed, fixed income individuals who are retired. A lot of people do make quarterly estimated tax payments. It's another mechanism for paying the tax into the government that you owe on a timely basis, because the government and their wisdom, they don't want to wait until the end of the year, because they figure, okay, everybody will wait until April 15th and then they'll write these big checks.
Or they won't have the money to do it.
They don't want to, they will have spent it. You're right. So they want to do, they want to get that in the quarter that the income is earned is really the way it works. And estimated quarterly payments are literally coupons that you calculate how much tax you owe for any given year or quarter. If you do it annually, you calculate that tax out annually, divide it by four, and you pay in that estimated quarterly tax payment for both the federal government and any state government payments that you owe on income taxes. And again, you're exactly right when you say, hey, what transactions do generate these estimated tax payments? Typically just change of life type situations, but people who are making estimated tax payments or are paying in through their salary throughout the year, many times they'll need to pay in they'll have a fourth quarter sale of a rental property, or they sell generate a large gain on stock. And at that time, if it's first quarter, you need to really think about it, because if you make a transaction like that in the first quarter and don't pay the related taxes on that, you're underpaid for that entire year of taxes, and so your penalty is going to be higher. If you have that same transaction in the fourth quarter, it might not be quite as bad of a penalty, but you're really required to pay that tax in the quarter that that transaction occurs.
Right. And then usually that's a couple of week lag time, right, from the quarter. So for the year end, December 31st, the quarterly payment is due January 15th.
It's a January 15th payment. For the first quarter, it's an April 15th payment for first quarter of that year. And again, that can run into some cash flow issues for people too. So you need to plan for that, because you may owe, you may be paid in, but also may be paying a payment in with your income tax filing for the prior year, and you got to get caught up on your current year first quarter payment. So you've got these payment deadlines: June 15th, September 15th, and January 15th.
Right. So the thought could be here is that if you had some transaction like that, there are, a lot of people are used to, Darren, withholding tax from their paycheck.
Right.
But if you did sell a piece of property, or even if you sold a stock or something. So for a client of ours, as an example, if we sold some equities, some stock positions that they had, and we took this gain, there's really no way for us to do what's called a withholding on that. So the only time we can do withholding traditionally is if it's in an IRA and we pull out money from an IRA, we can request withholding on
that. That's exactly right.
But not on a traditional non-retirement type of an account. So it really is up to the individual to either work with their tax advisor and be able to calculate what that potential tax liability would be. And that's why oftentimes when I am talking with a client that says, hey, we want to make a transition or change to their non-retirement account, I show them, well, here's your cost basis. Here's the gain that we're going to have if we do this. I said, talk to your tax advisor before we do this so that we could get a better understanding as to what type of tax liability you're going to have. And then you can make a decision based on that and say, yes, I still feel comfortable, still want to do this. But you'll go into it with your eyes wide open. And that's really what I would like my clients to do.
Well, I think it's extremely important. And that's where it goes from simple to complex. Because, right. you know, many times, you know, it's easy for me to sit here and say, yeah, you're going to owe that tax in the quarter that you make the transaction. But, you know, let's say you sell a stock and generate a $100,000 gain on the sale of that stock. But you know you have some things in your portfolio that maybe you're underperforming. You know, maybe they were a great stock a few years ago, but now they're underperforming and you know you're going to get rid of it in quarter two or quarter three
right.
and generate an offsetting $50,000 or $60,000 loss.
Right, yeah.
Do you have to pay your full income tax on that or capital gains tax on that as of quarter one? No. You plan that in, you project mm-hmm. it in, and what your goal is to get paid in by the end of the year, your total tax liability amount. It's not necessarily a rule designed to have you overpay on first quarter gains that really you use up on losses and offset with losses the rest of the year. And now you just have to get a big refund back.
Right.
So there is a little bit of thought process
sure.
that goes on to it, a calculation yeah. that goes on to it, even on rental properties. You know, mm-hmm. I've had people execute rental properties in the first quarter of a year, and there's a down market, and they end up selling enough loss positions on stock to more than make up for a sale of a rental property.
Gosh, we don't like to sell at a loss, though, right?
No.
You know, it's interesting. Now we don't.
Do you remember those? I mean, it's been a while since.
We don't want to sell at a loss, and oftentimes people don't want to sell at a gain either, right? Because they feel that it's going to continue to go up, and if it's going down, they figure, well, we'll just wait. It's not a loss until I sell it. So it is interesting the mindset and the emotion in an investor, right? And how they think. And that's why I think having a good financial advisor and a good tax advisor to help them make those decisions and take that emotion out of it is critical. Because there are times when we want to make changes to a portfolio, whether or not there's a tax liability or not, because economic conditions would be are saying it's a prudent decision to make these changes.
And that's where that comes in. I have discussions with clients at the end of the year every year, and I did a couple weeks ago, and that was, hey, maybe you don't, they're saying, well, I'm going to sell the stock at a loss because I've got these gains and I want to get out of it. My answer to them is always, hey, take a look at it from an investment perspective as well.
Right.
You may be saving 15% in capital gains tax, but if you think that investment is poised to do well in the next year, then when are you going to get rid of it?
Right.
And yeah. keep in mind that you can't take that loss and then buy back into that same position a month later within 30 days.
30-day rule.
Or you're it'll be a wash sale and you don't get the benefit of that loss anyway. So
right.
there's the complexity of the tax law.
Yes. Darren, appreciate it as always. Darren Segrist of Segrist, Cheek, Potter & Heiser. It's tax time. So if you've got questions and you need help with your taxes, you can reach out to Darren directly. AZCPAs.com, right,
That's
Darren?
Correct.
And your phone number?
730-1569, area code 480.
Perfect. Darren Segrist. Again, thanks as always, Darren. I'm John Dombrowski. This is The Word on Wealth. Hopefully you did get some tidbit out of the show this week. And as always, I'm going to be back next week, same time. Well, they called it same bat time, right? And all that, but yeah. All right. Until next time, I'm John Dombrowski reminding you, don't run out of money before you run out of time.
Complimentary financial consultation at 480-991-1055. For personalized financial and retirement advice, that's 480-991-1055 or toll free at 1-866-991-4272. Visit us at GrandCanyonPlanning.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter. Securities and advisory services offered through Client One Securities, LLC, member of FINRA and SIPC, and an investment advisor. Grand Canyon Planning Associates, LLC, and Client One Securities, LLC are not affiliated.